Good morning. It's been interesting, actually, for today, since I came in. It's been all trials and temptations and sufferings and what we are going through. And as soon as I came through the door today, I got a word for my trial and, you know, what I am at the moment from Clive. That's amazing. That's what God prompted me to talk about, which I have done this before somewhere else, but God asked me to do it again because for some reason. So, can we, oh, it's been there already. It's about, it's about temptation and testing. My computer skills, though I am dealing with computers every day in my work, so excuse me if some typological errors and some stuff's not correct grammatically. So, you know me. So, the temptation and testing, actually, it's unfortunately a part of game in Christianity. Jesus said so many times, I overcome the world, so I am expecting you to overcome the world. So once, I've heard many times Brian saying, once I became a Christian, it doesn't matter, it's not going to change like what I'm going to face in my life. There may be a trials and temptations and testings, which is all included in the package. So what we are going to gain from that? So I accepted Jesus Christ. I am born again. Jesus gave me the spirit of him, which is his Holy Spirit, which is not a fear of a spirit of fear, which is a love, basically a love and power and kind of self-control. Not kind of, it is a self-control. So it says in Timothy, Paul written it to Timothy. So I'm using my Holy Spirit in my life. What had happened? I just a brief summary what happened to me since I became a Christian. So when I became a Christian, I was really happy because when I was filled with Holy Spirit, it gave me a lot of joy. And I'm really excited because the creator of the universe is dealing with me as a human being. Because I'm like in his Paul, in his letter, towards his end of his ministry, like to a writing to Timothy, he was saying, I am the worstest of sinner of all. So normally, if you became experienced, you said, well, you know, I've been a Christian for a long time. I am kind of, you know, I know a bit of everything. Not that way. He was writing, he understand. I'm the worstest of sinner for everyone. Like, you know, I'm the bad. So what happened to me when I became Christian? I was really happy and joyful because the universe, the creator of the universe, dealing with me directly. I can feel him when I want to. I come to hear prayer. I feel the peace and joy in my heart. It was amazing. So then what I thought, yes, it's amazing. I was keep on pressing on to more gift on me, more gift on my family, more gift on me. But one thing I forgot, others are included in my life. Because in greatest commandment, what Jesus said, you know that we had, in Old Testament, there was the Ten Commandments. In the New Testament, it's basically summarized into two, which we are going to see in a minute. Basically, what it says, love your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, and love your neighbors as you love yourself. But the thing is, you know, the second commandment, well, I say I love them, I love others. I love others in my life, means my neighbors. Who are my neighbors? You know, you've seen the verses many times. So, do I really do that? Well, looking at it, I didn't. That brought me to here to explain what happened to me because I was concentrating on myself, my healing, my spiritual gift. I want to grow more and more and more. Shall we have the next slide, please? So, the greatest commandment. Actually, this is after he's been tested by the Pharisees, he's been tested by, Sadducees. The Pharisees got together and he's asked them, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord with your heart, with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind.
Whoa.
The same slide, yeah, sorry, yeah. And this is the first and greatest commandment, and I've just bolded it a little bit, and the second is like it. which is love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. It's all included. Everything what we got to do is included in these two commandments. So, and the second is like it. So basically what he's saying, if you're loving, the God is saying, the God the Father is saying, love me. It's not enough. As well as you got to love your neighbor as you are loving me. The same love, I am expecting you to love your neighbors. So, whoever I am working with, whoever my neighbor, whoever I am having a connection with, are included in my life, in my Christian life. Which is, came out of the equation for a particular period of time. So, I am responsible for the others, my neighbors. You can add the neighbors, whoever your names, you know, in the neighbors list. So could I have the second one, please? The next slide, please. So before we start, we started already, but I am a nurse. When you go to hospital, you've been asked, are you in any pain? If you are in pain, could you tell me in a numeric scale? We use this scale to analyze, to assess your pain. So 0 being no pain and 10 being excruciating pain, what number are you in? So we ask this question. I will say, a patient say, well, I 4, 5, or somebody says, 100, 7, 11, to explain that way. You know, they say, well, I can't tolerate, I need to go to theater to get anesthetized, so I can't deal with that, you know, kind of thing. So this is our, an assessment before we go into this preaching. So 0 being no love, and 10 being I am loving God all my heart, and I am loving my neighbors as much as I am. So everyone, you can think of your number, including me. So where we are at the moment. So this is to just assess. We are going to do the same test at the end of the sermon. So you don't need to write it down. Just to remember, keep it in yourself. You know, what number are you? You don't need to tell your friends or anyone. This is a 0 to 10. 10 being high and 0 being no love. So why we are tested? Why Jesus was tested? Well, this is a different sermon. We got to go for another week. But there are few. I can make it here. You know, the grow. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, to grow strong disciples who truly live by faith, not by what we see. We live by faith. Because, you know, like we had a sermon from Brian on the other day. Faith, we have faith. We, even if you don't see. We know Jesus is real. We know Holy Spirit is real. We know God the Father is dealing with us at the moment. What He's dealing with His church, everything is true. We have a faith and we go on it. To grow on it, we've been tested. And perfect through suffering. Actually, we are getting perfected. After the sermon, not after the Sermon of the Mount, end of the chapter, in chapter 5 in Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, you know, try to be perfect. Be perfect as the Father in heaven is perfect. So we are kind of, to make it, you know, just to make it shorter, God wants us to be like Him, to be like Christ. So, it is a mock test, not a final exam. Basically, what it does, mock test is, you know, mock test is given to students, not for the teachers, for the students to know where they are at. There are something in my life to be corrected before the final exam. So, and I am sure, I believe, God knows where I am at the moment, my level. But why is allowing us to be tested is to tell me, to make me aware, to know where I am at, to get, you know, in order to get improvement in my life towards the journey. So it is a mock test. So it is not the end of the world. But we don't like it. We don't like, nobody likes testing. Nobody likes trial. The next slide, please. Right. This is love the Lord. This is about love. So what are the types of love? There are so many definitions according to psychology, you know, in Bible. This is a Greek type of love. So what we are talking about love, it's a different sermon. Like I said, we go through briefly. Eros means it is a love between a opposite sex, or it's happening, you know, same sex nowadays. It is a sexual love, a romantic. Storage is a family being, you know, having a love I'm loving my father, mother, and my children. It's brother and sister. It's all family love. Filio, it's love for fellow humans and care and respect. Compassion for people in need. It's amazing, isn't it? Because we do all the charity work we need. We do some work for the people who are really in need. This, and brotherhood love. It's a good one. The last one, it's a friend, agape, you know, the highest type. This is an unconditional and incomparable, immeasurable, sacrificial love with a pure heart. This is what we had from Jesus and the Father. So just four types. The last one is God's love. Can I have the next one, please? So, why there is a commandment? Why, what is it? What is the purpose? Paul said to Timothy, it's about love from pure heart. To know why this commandment has been given. The purpose of the commandment is love from pure heart, from a good conscience and sincere faith. So to test us, ourselves, whether the purpose of the commandment is to test ourselves. Am I loving God? Fourth type. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, am I loving my neighbor as myself? Yes, of course we do. Let's test it. We are still thinking, and let's go for the testing one. Can I have the next slide, please? So for an example, the testing happened was Jesus. Because Jesus, we are a disciples, we are his disciples, we are following his footsteps. So what happened to Jesus? When I read it was really interesting. It knocked me, actually, because this happened when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, Jordan River. So the next passage in all the Gospels, it said he was led by the Spirit. So Jesus didn't go. Jesus was led by the Spirit to the wilderness. So everywhere it says Jesus was led by the Spirit to get tested by Satan. So God is allowing. So this word says is God is allowing us to be tempted or tested. So it is a part of a package. So Jesus, we know he's Son of God. Why he has to be tested? We know him. God knows him. Why he got to be tested? So there are three tests he had. It is written in Matthew. Actually, this is written in Luke and Matthew. I've took it in from Matthew. So what it says is Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter, came to him and he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from mouth of God. Second test. Then devil took him up to the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. The third test, the devil took him up on exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. After that, he started ministry. So when we're dealing with the ministry, when we are dealing with other people, and God is going to be bless us with the ministry, and when we are going to get lots of gifts, the promised gift from God, we are dealing with 10,000 volt, the wire. So you got to be insulated. We are dealing with a very, very high sensitive area. If you are not tested enough, for example, if you're going from one class to the next class, we got tested. So if you're going to be dealing with the many people, especially the God's children, without the insulation, we've got to shock ourselves. So Jesus was tested in three areas. The first one with the flesh. The second one with the spiritual pride. Well, if you're a son of God, yes, I do. I am a son of God. I can do whatever I want to. Well, he was humble enough to say that. You're not supposed to test your God. So he was given this paragraph tells us Jesus, Satan's temptation, and Jesus answered back what he was using it. He was using the words from the Bible. He was using the word from God to, what do you say, attack back or, to Satan. So we are not going to see what Jesus said to them, because we all know this is a different sermon. So we're going to see, because if we go into everything in detail, I'll be there all day here. So it's going to be the nature of the attacks from Satan. What are they? So we have the next one, please. Spoken. The nature of test one is flesh. Are we getting it? I believe we are. Every day we are getting tested by our flesh. So are we changing the stones? Because we've been given a gift now. You see, this is happening after being filled with the Holy Spirit. We got God's power. Holy Spirit is nothing but, as I said, it's a love, power, and self-control. We got the power. We got God is dealing with us. So this is happening after we've been filled with Holy Spirit. So are we doing it? Yeah, well, I've done it so many times. The nature of the flesh, test one is flesh. The first one is mine. I am. If anyone hurt me, I can't tolerate it. Because it's me. I am. You're not allowed to test because something is in me. It's stopping me to come back to you. So we are living in, there is a possibility, even after we are filled with the Holy Spirit, there is a possibility of the big me could lead us into, fall into temptation. Second, all those are not from God. This is, Satan is opening the door. You've been fasting, you're hungry. Look, there is an opportunity for, use your gift, use my gift to change the stone into bread. I give you an example. I have a son who is 7 years old now. It happened, I think, 2 years before. He was asking me when he was five or six, could I have an iPad or tablet to download more video games and stuff? As a father, I said, I don't think so. It's the right age for you. You got to wait. Because I don't believe, your eyes, things like that. So we don't feel comfortable giving you an iPad on his own to play with games all the time. We said no. So then after a few months, I got a friend came in my home. He was staying with them and they were having a conversation. Thank God I interrupted the conversation, because they have nearly had a covenant between each other. He's going to buy an iPad for him. Mm-hmm. My friend was going to get a tablet for him. I don't know what happened, because he asked him or anything. So the door was open for Johan to get the tablet. But that was not from his father. I came to know very recently. So when I was praying, God, what is next? What? The door may open. If we go through the door, we may fall into the temptation. The third, significance of others. We forget about others. I've done so many times. Every time we go, I am important. What is my problem? It is nothing wrong with me to say, because we think about ours most of the time. Because the problems and trials and temptations keep us not to worry, not to pray about, not to think about others. That's the enemy's plan. Thank God we are coming to church. Open up for others. Think about others, pray for others. Amazing, like Sibeli said, I want to be a part of church where I am helped. I am in weakness as a family. So others automatically, once I become a Christian, others automatically involved. They are included in my destiny. The God was asking, do you love me? Which he doesn't ask about the love of philia, the third type of love which we have. There are lots of charity organizations. They do money, they do stuff, they do help people out. That's amazing. It's good. It's good to have a brotherly love. But what he's asking about, the fourth type of love. Can you love me? So, that love cost something from me. For example, if I am loving Trevor, I love you, Trevor. Okay, that's it. I love you. So, what does it mean? Maybe Filio, I love him as a brother. I love him and I care and come, you know, but if I love him, Trevor, it takes something out of me. Sorry, is it making clear? Am I going right? Yeah. So, for example, in Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said about the teachings which is difficult to follow. People say, loving enemies. So without compromising my flesh, I cannot love my enemies. That is agape love. If I have the love towards him, then I can do it. So what that Jesus was telling is teaching everything. You love your neighbors, you love your God, love your neighbors, love your God. All he's talking about the fourth love, which you have to sacrifice your flesh. It has to come out of something to love others. Forgiving, he hurt me. It is difficult for sometimes, you know, the people gone through lots of stuff. People hurt others. It is difficult to forgive. It takes something out of us to come into the situation, come out of it, and then just forgive them. Blessing those who curse us, these all teachings of Jesus. Going second mile, praying for those who persecute us, taking the cross. The last, the greater love is John 15:13. Amazing. Greater love has no lay down our life for our friends, which Jesus did. So if you imagine, not imagining, if you just think about the scale we had, 0 to 10, 0 no love, we can put John 15:13 at the end, 10th. So that is a greater love according to Bible. So now, I'm sorry, I don't know where your score at the moment is. So, but if you put greater love in number 10 and 0 no love, being absolutely selfish. Definitely it requires Holy Spirit. So I explained already 2 Timothy 1:7, God has given us a spirit of, not spirit of fear, but power, love and sound mind. So it's nothing but, Romans 5:5, I like it. The Holy Spirit, when it comes to it, it's nothing but it's God's love. The love of God, the fourth type of love of God is poured into our hearts. Romans 5:5. Example, Peter's. When Jesus asked him, well, you're saying everything, are you going to follow me? What Peter said, I'll lay down my life for you. Wherever you go, I follow you. I believe he didn't lie. He thought he was loving Jesus, fourth type. But it was not possible for him to show when the flesh involved. When he had a problem like, you know Jesus? No, I don't know. The flesh involved. Why couldn't he do it? Because he was not filled with the Holy Spirit that time. So that it requires Holy Spirit. Then he went to show agape love, which is number 10. So it definitely requires the Holy Spirit. We are different. People, everybody does it. Everybody, my friend of mine who's a Hindu, he's asking me, and a Catholic man, he's asking, you know, you guys are saying, you know, you're a church, and we are doing a charity work everywhere in the world. You know, wherever you go, you find our charity centers and everything. We love them. But we are Christians. We are filled with the Holy Spirit, which we need. We are different. We show them agape love. Because we already, God loved us first. So we not only say filio, yes, I love you. Yes, I do the charity. Yes, I do that. We love them, which cost us something. That's what Jesus asked about. Which is difficult, which is, I cannot do it. Definitely, I know. That's the example by Peter. He couldn't do it. But, no excuse now. We got filled with the Holy Spirit, which is a power. I understand that. I was asking God to fill me up with the more blessings or more gifts. I want a speaking tongue. I want a healing. I want to do that and everything. It's what I was concentrating on, my only myself. God, pour me your Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. Pour me in order to love others and you with agape love, which takes me something out of me. Which is the greatest commandment. I believe primarily we are for that reason. Could I have next one, please? Spiritual pride. It could happen. Love is patient, you know. Love is kind. And if you have boasting or not proud, doesn't matter. I am telling off everything. I can see, I've seen my workmates, you can easily see them, they are boasting, you know, like, I know everything, you know, when I came, the ward is okay, everything sorted. You can see clearly, but us, we don't show we are boasting, but it probably inside, in our heart, if someone is healed, someone is not healed, maybe looking down, look, you know, they might not have enough faith like me. If I were you, I would have done this differently. Well, this could happen. Once we overcome the flesh, we make the Satan is not leaving us. He's going to lead us into the second temptation. Without knowing, we might be pride. I know more Bible than somebody else. I know I am better than you. Blessings, looking down on others. And blessings. So it could happen. Jesus replied, well, you're not allowed, you're not to test God. Third one, please. Sorry, the next one. Sorry about the very tiny letters, because I want to make it in one slide. So, but I will read it out for you. So, the third temptation is the nature of the test of three is about the world. I give you everything. Before Jesus was crucified, he was the one holding the authority. In Matthew 28, authority has been, Jesus said, authority has been given to me now. The authority of the world has been handed back to Jesus. So this is the nature of the world. The nature of the test is three. Anyone understand what I'm trying to say from the top? Could anyone see this? Sorry. This is a saint. And this is an ark. There's lots of people in there. It is an ark in the midst of lots of people. So what I'm trying to say here, we are called to live in this world, to follow Jesus. We are detached from the world, but not like the saints here. In Hinduism, because I'm from India, it's about 80% of people are Hindus. If you want to be sanctified, if you want to be a holy person, there are monks and the saints are there. What they got to do, they detach themselves from the society, leave the family, leave everything. They got to go to the wilderness or Himalayas or somewhere, sit down, and they pray to God all the time. They detach from the world, from the family, from everything. They say, they say they don't have interest in anything. They overcome the world, sorry. Yeah, they overcome the world, they don't want anything. So they're going to be sitting under the tree and on their own. And then in certain stage, if they keep praying and keep meditating on, you know, in some stage, they get mukti. Mukti means, you know, they get the sanctified. And they get, you know, like direct revelation from God coming to them to become a saint. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, Noah's Ark. Imagine Noah's Ark is a church in the midst of the world. We are living in the world. And showing our policies, our doctrine is different. We are not living like the worldly people live. We don't need to go to leave everything and go to the wilderness all the time and sitting down. I am getting sanctified now. I don't want to get any interactions because I am dealing with God now. Unfortunately, that's not what God asked from us. So what he's asking us, yes, I want to show you the world. You are a disciple, how I want to be, how you are going to be. You are a different man, you are a different woman. But you got to be in the midst of people. You're not coming out of them. That's what I put, the two sides, the two differences. So how do we say it's in 1 John 2:15? It says clearly, do not love the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of flesh, the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but it is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desire. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. It's 1 John 2:15 and 17. So what I'm trying to say, we are in the world, we need money, we need people, we need a job, we need to go to work, and get money and feed the family, and we need a decent entertainment, and we can't just come and detach from the world and live on a, you know, jungle. So we are living. What God is asking us, do not conform, like in Romans 12 says, to conform to this world. There are some policies. The world is telling us, you got to be living this way. You got to be living in that way. This is world about 80% of people live, but we got to show them we are not the 80%, we are 20%, we follow Jesus, we are different. But we live in amongst you. Why they are different? Because they don't do what we do. We got to show the people by our actions how we are attached to the world. That's what he says. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:12. Sometimes I heard a sermon by someone, I'm not sure who it is. It is, unless detach from the society, from the world, we wouldn't be able to know what's the will of what God is. Doesn't matter, you know, I got to be living the world. The world got lots of ideas which we don't follow. We follow what Jesus said. So in the midst of people around at workplace, why don't you do it? Well, I'm a Christian, I don't do it. Sorry. This is what we live what Jesus said. But we are as a Noah's Ark in the midst of people. We do not conform. So then there is a bit of a contradiction or whatever we could say. If God said, do not love the world and, you know, just, you know, you got to be careful because, you know, it may, they got a flesh, desires of flesh and desires of the eyes and pride in possession. It might all take you away from my will. So be careful, you know, just you follow me and do not just get attached to the world. So what he's trying to say is do not get attached to it. Without that worldly stuff. For example, we could ask us one question. So which one now, if you make, which one of anything will make us 100% happy? If I give you something, which one is going to make me making happy? Holiday? Or a PS4, 5, 6 now? What is it? 4, it's still not 5 yet. Yeah. Next year, okay, yeah. PS4 or big lump sum of money or mortgage paid off. It's amazing, it's good. But which one is, I'm asking the first. Yes. So if anything in the world, without that, I am a bit disturbed. That means we are attached to that pot. It says, you know, we got to go to work, we need money, we need a home, we need a car. Well, you don't, you know, you can have Bentley, but as long as you're not attached to it, I think we are okay. We are doing Romans 12. So if I am attached, if I need to show off Bentley, I can't live without my Bentley. You know, it's lovely. Oh, it's driving. It's amazing. You know, I know you got to pay all your, you know, bank money into the petrol station, but still, but still I'm happy. I can't live without it. At that point, we are conformed. So if it is part of our life, well, we need it. We might have Bentley. It's fine. But if I don't have a Bentley, if I'm just driving average, old Ford, you know, well, I don't mind. Some people, you know, you can see people who are matured in their belief with Jesus. It doesn't bother them. That's what he's saying. So do not conform to this world. So if God said, do not love the world, but in John 3, he said, God so loved the world. What is he trying to say here? Hang on. He hasn't finished yet. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He has done his agape love. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have an everlasting life. The sentence hasn't finished here. So it finished here because it says, whoever believes in him. So what he says, I've given you something, you got to be believing in my son. Believing doesn't matter, just believing. It means clearly explained in 1 John 5, 1-5. So whoever believes that Christ is the born of God, everyone who loves him, loves him who is begotten of him. What basically it says, if anyone believes and loves, they obey the commandment. And anybody who loves and believes Jesus, and they will overcome the world as Jesus did. People will say, well, why is, yes, he got lots of money, but he's not attached to it. Amazing, good testimony. We know who is real value in our life. Jesus is amazing because he has given us his spirit. So, the three tests. One is flesh. The second one, spiritual pride. We could go sometime, you know, we've got to be careful what Satan trying to tempt us. The third one, the world. So these three areas, Jesus was tempted, and when he won the test, immediately if you see in Matthew, it says he was ministered by angels, and he just gone into the ministry. He was ready to hold the 10,000 volt with the installation. So is it a one-off thing? But it's interesting. It happened in short period of being filled with the Holy Spirit. As soon as, you know, he baptized, and the next thing was just he was led by the Spirit to get tested. So God allowing us sometimes go into the test, trials and temptation. This morning when I came through the door, what Clive said to me, I am in a bit of problem. And Clive said to me, well, I got a word for you. It was amazing. What was the word? He said to me, God knows you are in trial. Do not try to come out of it. Basically what it was. Try to endure into it. He is making a strong foundation, and he is going to make you something better out of you from your life. It was amazing. That was what I was going to talk about. He talked about in 2 minutes. So when we are going through trials and temptation, it is a hard work. It is not difficult. It is difficult, and it is hard because we are programmed not to go into trials and temptation. We don't like testing in our life. But when we go through it, the one thing is, I know it's a bit cheeky, we have an opportunity to fulfill, to get agape love, to go towards God and others. It is difficult, Because when I had a fever, it was 39, like Sibeli said this morning, 39, 40, I couldn't pray for myself. I was trying to pray and I couldn't pray when we're going into it, but God said, in His will, with His Holy Spirit, I think we could able to do it. When we're going through it, we might think Satan is trying to take away our mind to something else, but when we are in trouble, there is an opportunity at that time to show, maybe just to make a first step, to show the agape love towards God and others. So go to the next slide, please. So, how are we doing? If I am loving God, that means my kingdom, I am the best. If anyone hurt me, I can't forgive them. Well, I love them. It doesn't come out of any sacrifice. How much I am attached to the world, how much do I have proud heart in me? It all counts. The one thing is, it's when we go to trials and temptations, you know what had happened at the crucifixion? Jesus was given a medicine, right, to numb the pain, just to take off, you know, take it easy, because He was offered this tough. So, you know, we're going to beat you, you're going to take the cross and it's going to be hard for you. The soldiers offered Him, you can drink that one, you might feel a bit numb. Jesus said, what did He say? Thank you. No, He didn't say that. He said no. Jesus didn't feel that's going to stop feeling pain, because the greatest pain He had gone through, you know what was it? Death. The detachment from the Father. Eternally. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginner and end. I am the perfecter of faith. Everything before the time exists. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit bind together for this human race. It's been detached. That was the greatest pain He gone through. Then He said, Abba, why have you forsaken me? That was the greatest pain He was going through to save us and to be with us when you are going into trials and temptation. That's the point. So when I am going into trial and temptation, what Jesus faced, I am not going to face. Because Jesus was detached from His Father, I am not going to be, because Jesus is going to be with me. Isn't that amazing? I heard Brian was saying there was a pastor in Iran when he was, I remember that still, he was, what is it? The word doesn't come out. When he was, sorry?
Trying to say stabbed.
Yeah, stabbed, sorry, yes. When he was stabbed, he didn't feel pain. He didn't feel the pain. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength made in perfect. I am weak. I am going to fail. In temptations, I am going to fail. I am weak. But if I am focused on Him, He said, my strength, grace is sufficient for you. For example, I am asking God, I was cheeky. God, could You show me the power of spirit and the grace now? If I am going to stab by someone, no, I don't feel it. I wouldn't feel it. My grace is sufficient for you now. What I need, a little bit of carbohydrate to stand up here and talking, and a little bit of water, my grace is sufficient for you. Now it's okay for you. But if I am going to, somebody's going to slap me, somebody's going to kill me, my grace will be sufficient for you at that time. Because Jesus detached Himself from Father for the sake of us to be with us when we are going into trials and temptation. Isn't that amazing? That day it put my mind at rest. Yes, I know, you know, people are killed so many, you know, killed and, you know, I'm, you know, in India and in all over the world, people being prosecuted and killed. They were going to die. At that time, if somebody is going to kill us, somebody is going to kill me, So there is an opportunity. It is difficult. I'm not saying we are going to do it. We are not ready. We are, you know, we don't know. There is an opportunity to sow number 10. But there was a difference. With Jesus, he detached himself from Father. He was forsaken. But for us, Jesus is going to be with us, even if you are showing number 10. So we are safe. We might not, I don't know how he's going to be. We might not feel pain. We might feel immediate power. We might feel the power of resurrection. We might feel a bit gladness. Or our eyes closed down and we don't feel anything. We started seeing Jesus and nothing will... I don't know. We haven't faced it yet. Because our grace is, His grace is sufficient for now. But when we go through that one, His promise is there. My grace is sufficient for you. It will be sufficient for you at that time. So when we are going into troubles and temptation, there is another opportunity to show the agape love. That is the greatest commandment. And to our neighbors. It says in Hebrews 2:18, for that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. He was tempted. And he can help us. And we have a direct relationship with God. We can feel him when we are in trials and temptation. Either two options. If I am in trials and temptations, either you're going to take it away or you're going to give me grace to overcome it. God, please help us to take this away. Or if you're allowing that one to happen in my life to show I am loving you what the love you are intended to be. Or I am loving others. Please give me grace. And the other promise, it's not in there. You're not going to be tempted beyond your limitation. In 1 Corinthians. So he knows our limitation. Where, you know, now I can tolerate only up to this much. You know, I am in, maybe in 10th standard GCSE. He's not going to give me a test for A-levels or degree or something. So maybe for Brian, A-levels or degree, master's or PhD. We don't know. For me, maybe GCSE. He's not going to be, test us beyond our limitations. So, the opportunity is now to put ourselves in numbers. So whoever is really happy to share what number they are, they are welcome. But you don't need to. So now you had a score for the previous one. Now where are we at? Are we really showing moderate agape love? I don't know. Are we ready for John 15? So where are we at the moment? But wherever we are, if you know, when the trials and temptation, there is an opportunity to love God, the love He wanted to love, and others. And the promise is He's going to be with us. With Him, we are going to do it. And we are going to be different. We are different because we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we show the difference because God in us, who is real. Well, look, we are doing this type of stuff. We are helping out others. What you guys are doing? Well, we are different. We do more stuff than you. Because you know what? The creator of the universe is within us. Isn't that amazing? Okay, let's pray then now. Father God, thank you very much for showing us where we are at the moment. Father God, thank you. You don't like trials and temptations, as you know. As Jesus gone through, He's going to be with us when we are going through it. This is an opportunity to show the love for you, the love you intended, the agape love for you and to others. God, you know we are made up of flesh and we are attached to the world sometimes. We might have a spiritual pride in us, which we don't know. Please show us where we are lacking. Please take us to the number higher in our life. Because you are going to be with us even when we are in trouble and trials and temptation. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.